to God. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Still, I'm basking in the glory, I am, of those wonderful times in God that we had. And praise God. We just keep going from glory to glory. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray that, Father, that the enlightenment that comes only with the activity of the Spirit would benefit us tonight. That, God, that you'll open up our eyes and our hearts to light, to truth. Glory to God. Show us the very essence and nature of these wonderful manifestations that we call the gifts of the Spirit. And, God, as we get into this Bible study tonight, we covet earnestly, as your word instructs us to do, the best gifts. We want the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. We want the gifts of the Spirit manifested in local churches throughout the world. Father God, we want the manifestation of the power of God that will cause people to lift up their eyes and say, yes, there is a God. I want to know Him. We thank you for the power of God increasing in this day and in this hour. And we thank you, Father God, that our church will not be left out, but we will have our generous portion of the moving of your Spirit in our midst. Teach us how, Father. And we thank you. I thank you for helping me to help them in this area. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. So a couple of resources that I just go to again and again and again when I want to study on the gifts of the Spirit is, now my copy is really old. And this is a very old copy of The Holy Spirit and His Gifts by Kenneth E. Hagin. And I've got an older copy of this. It's in a much smaller format. I don't know if we have the modern version in our bookstore, but it's a comprehensive teaching from Brother Hagin on the gifts of the Spirit. It's really wonderful. This is the book I mentioned last week that Brother Hagin said that Jesus endorsed this man's book. And it's Howard Carter's book on the gifts of the Spirit called Questions and Answers on Spiritual Gifts. And it's really a kind of an edited transcript of an interview that that someone did with Howard Carter, asking him questions about the gifts of the Spirit. And it's very good. And so if you're looking for resources, those are two that will keep you right and keep you sound. Amen? Amen. Well, here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's begin reading once more in verse number 1. And it says, now, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts or things that pertain to the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away. I like this. A lot of times we just skip over it. These dumb idols. Paul's not calling the idols stupid. The word dumb is describing something that cannot talk, right? Something that cannot talk. An idol, a statue, it cannot talk. Amen. How many of you know we're not? So that's one reason why we're not serving idols. We don't worship idols. Idols can't talk to us. Idols can't guide us. Idols can't give us our answers. Idols can't converse with us. But the Holy Ghost can. Three of these gifts are speaking gifts. Amen. Glory to God. Three more of the gifts are God are revealing gifts. So there's lots God wants to say and do. We're not serving a rock, worshiping a tree, the moon or the stars that can't talk back to us. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. That's what Paul's reminding them about. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man or no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. This is literally saying that when the Spirit of God is on someone and inspiring their words, that person would never say, could not say, Jesus is accursed. Amen. Now, a human being, I could utter those words apart from the inspiration of the Spirit. But he's saying when the Spirit of God is in manifestation in a person and on a person, that person could never and would never say, Jesus is accursed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities, different kinds of gifts. We've covered this, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. Not all ministries are the same. I'm going to say this again. We need to be open to more than one ministry. Amen. You know, God put me in a camp. He put me in a company. We're all part of the overall body of Christ, but He put me in a camp. a group of believers, a company of believers. And I got biblical, you know, support for that. Peter, when he got supernaturally delivered from prison, the Bible says he went to his own company. He didn't go to Paul's company. He went to his company. See, there was a group of believers that Peter was assigned to. Amen. And we need to figure out what company we're in. It's interesting. When I got connected with Dr. Dufresne in 2003, and all the way and still connected with their family, a couple of years into that, as I was, I had invited someone to minister here, a ministry. And it was an okay meeting. It was fine. There's nothing damaging about it, nothing bad. But when that minister left, the Lord said, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. And he said, never again invite a guest minister that's not in your company unless I tell you to. Amen. Not that all the other ministers are bad. Amen. And Pastor Nancy, I think during the conference alluded to this one time, that you bring a bunch of eclectic different flavors and voices in, you're going to end up with a confused congregation. One of the things that people see when they come, when we're all gathered together in a conference or here in our own church, there's a continuity. Right? There's a unity. We don't know everything there is to know, but we're together in what we're trying to accomplish. Amen. But within the company, there God has raised up ministers in this company that we're a part of, that I'm a part of, that have differences of ministries. They stand in different ministry offices: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. And then each one of those ministry offices has different gifts of the Spirit that equip them to stand in those offices and fulfill those functions. Yeah. There are different kinds of ministries. And there's different kinds of ministries among the laity.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And we need to become skillful and familiar with our particular place in the body of Christ and gain skill in bringing that supply.
Amen?
Amen? One thing that's real key, if you want God to use you at all in the gifts of the Spirit, is don't try to imitate how God uses somebody else. That's a big mistake, right? There are things that I learned, right? And there are, over time, through impartations, Brother Scott and I were talking about this in the back room, when you study the great, you know, some of the generational ministers, one down to the other. I was watching a little clip today of Dr. Summerall teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm sitting there, it's just a short clip, and I thought, that's where Dr. Dufresne got that. That's Dr. Dufresne. I recognize that. Yeah. Well, he's not imitating him, but he got an impartation.
Yeah.
Right? But the only person God is going to anoint in my life is me.
Right.
He's not going to anoint me trying to act like Dr. Dufresne.
Right.
I'm not him. I'm not Pastor Nancy. I'm not Dr. Jacobs. I'm sure you figured that out. And we might have someone we like, but you just have to understand, don't try to imitate anyone else. God is, he made you, he designed you, he wired you, he crafted you, he loves you, he likes you, and bless God, he'll use you. And he'll flow through you.
Amen.
In the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And that's what will bring the wonderful diversity that God so desires in the body of Christ. We're not all the same.
Amen.
Right? We're not all the same. Praise God. And then thirdly, this passage goes on and says there are not only in verse 5 differences of gifts, verse 4, differences of ministries, verse 5, but there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God that works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given. It's not earned. It's not bought. I mean, you can't, you can try it if you want, but you can't give me enough money to give you a prophecy. Now, you can try it. I'll cash a check and we'll see if a prophecy comes out. But that's just not how it works. I would just discourage you from doing that. That's just not how it works.
Yes, sir.
And any TV preacher that gets up and says, you know, if you send me $1,000, I'll send you a word from the Lord. That is satanic.
Yes, sir,
right there. You don't do that kind of thing. Amen. And praise God. But the manifestations of the Spirit, they're given. And why are they given? To hurt your life. To embarrass your life. To shrink your church and keep it small. No. For the profit. There's going to be profit. There's going to be gain. There's going to be advantage. There's going to be benefit for all. Amen. Then he begins to list them in verse number 8. And so it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith," or I call it special faith, "by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing," and it's literally in the Greek, it's healings, "by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy," or I like to call it the simple gift of prophecy, "to another," notice this, "the discerning," "to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." So as I said last Wednesday I was ministering on this, that we can readily see that there are three different categories that you could put these nine gifts in. And it just so happens that in the three categories, there's three gifts in each category. So there are vocal gifts or utterance gifts or gifts that say something. And that would obviously be the simple gift of prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There are three gifts of power, three gifts that do something, that perform something in this realm. The gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and the gift of special faith. Amen? But then there is this last category that we're studying right now called the revelation gifts. Why are they called the revelation gifts? Because they reveal something. You get a Starbucks. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's a pretty easy Starbucks, Pastor. Praise God. Amen. I try to make it easy for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what are the three gifts that reveal something? Well, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. Amen. And so we studied last time on the word of knowledge, and I want to go a little further into the word of wisdom tonight. Notice that the very first gift mentioned, it stands at the top of all the lists of the gifts, is the word of wisdom. Scholars and Bible teachers have said that that is the case because the word of wisdom is the best gift. Now, amen. Now, is it the best gift? That's a matter of opinion. Right? To me, the best gift is the gift needed at the moment. Amen. If what you need to stay alive right then is the working of miracles, then that's the best gift. Amen. Right?
Yes.
Amen. But overall, the reason scholars label the word of wisdom as the best gift is because of how it is defined. So the word of wisdom, I define it like this. It is supernatural insight from the mind of God or in the mind of God concerning people, places, and things dealing with the future. This is a gift that when it's in manifestation, God reveals, He imparts His supernatural wisdom concerning His plans and His purposes. Amen. And that to have foresight, to know now something about what God plans, to have inside information into the purposes of God, insight into the future. That's why they call it the highest gift. Amen. Now, he who would say, or she who would say that I have the gift, and I have issue with that kind of terminology, I have the word of wisdom. Notice it's called the word of wisdom. A word, again, is a fragmentary part of a sentence. God is omniscient. He lives in the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. He is unaffected by time. Time is something of His creation because in His genius, He knew it would help us. But He is not limited to time. And He knows everything about everything. He knows your future better than you know your past.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But God never shares all His wisdom. So Howard Carter, in his book, he gives this analogy. He said, let's say you've come up against a legal matter. And you happen to have retained a very skilled, very long seasoned lawyer. But you're not interested in everything he knows about law. Right? But you call him on the phone and you tell him your situation and he shares with you the pertinent part of the law that he knows that is an answer to your question, to your situation. That lawyer just gave a word of his wisdom. He didn't give all of it. You don't want all of it. But he gave you the word of his wisdom for that moment.
Yes, sir.
Well, God is that lawyer.
Amen.
And God can supernaturally impart a word of his wisdom. The end result being that you're going to have insight into his plans, into his purposes, and about people, places, and things relating to the future. Some nugget of that. Oh, and what an advantage. I was talking to a friend of mine. Amber and I were talking to some friends. And the wife, she was telling us how that kind of random, you know, that they hadn't had. They'd have different ways that they paid for medical expenses over the years. But they hadn't always had traditional health insurance. But in prayer, how many of you know it's good to pray? She said the Lord broke in on her and said, get health insurance, get the best. Okay, well they did. Not long after, the husband, my friend, had an issue come up with his body. That was something that was something to be taken care of, which was fine, but expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the Holy Ghost,
yeah.
And this is something that I love that he said as they were telling us this story. The Holy Ghost keeps you ahead of things.
Yeah.
Come on, get that. We should not live our life behind the eight ball. Right?
Amen.
We've got gifts.
Amen.
We've got the gift giver.
Amen.
We've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and he knows everything about everything. He knows everything about what's coming tomorrow, next year, in the next. He could tell you without even blinking his eye, 3,556 days, 3 hours and 10 minutes, I don't know, 5 seconds from now, what's going on. He can just tell you all about it. Why? Because he's there right now. I said, he's there right now. He's the ageless one, the eternal one. And it's nothing for him if it's needful. Now, why aren't people tapping into more of this kind of things that keep you ahead? What was our friend doing when this word of wisdom was imparted? Praying. Seeking God.
Amen.
If we want more of these manifestations, we're going to have to pay the price in prayer.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We can't make the Holy Spirit manifest himself, but we can put ourselves in position where he can easily reach us.
Yeah.
With the knowledge, the wisdom, the instruction that we need.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
None of us are excluded from this highest gift of the word of wisdom.
Amen.
Amen. Now, to help us with this, the Bible speaks of wisdom much and often. In my book, praise God, A Practical Prosperity, the opening chapter talks about the importance of getting wisdom. The Bible says the principal thing is wisdom. Get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the chief thing. If you're going to get anything, get wisdom. Well, he's not saying there, get the gift of the word of wisdom. There is a wisdom that we can get by developing spiritually, being a disciple of Jesus. Just time and experience ought to give you a little wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Right? We ought to acquire a little wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, Dad Dufresne said, I fell off the lettuce truck once and again, but I learned not to fall off the... He got some wisdom, you know. Hold on a little bit better. Don't sit as close to the edge. Get some wisdom about you.
Amen.
Amen? But there's an even a supernatural wisdom that we can acquire through meditating the Word, fellowshipping with God, sitting under the ministry of our pastor, coming to the local church, reading books and materials, talking to God. Amen? In fact, the Bible says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask of God who gives liberally, generously, and without reproach. He upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. So how many of us should get wisdom? All of us. Who can have wisdom? All of it. What do you got to do to get it?
Ask.
Ask for it. So anything in the Bible that is for everyone all the time cannot be any of these gifts of the Spirit. Gaining knowledge is for everyone. Right? Gaining knowledge is for everyone. Spiritual knowledge. But anything that is for everyone all the time cannot be confused, should not be confused with one of those gifts. Why? Because that whole list says, for to one is given. And to one is given. So don't be confused. If any man lacks wisdom, and God gives to one the word of wisdom. There's nothing to be confused about. You just need to understand it's two different things. Two different things. So how do you differentiate, amen, the word of wisdom versus wisdom? Well, the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation. Notice gaining just even spiritual wisdom, you use mental faculties to grow in that. But there is nothing that touches your mental faculties with the manifestation of the word of wisdom.
Amen.
It's a manifestation not of your mental faculty, but of the Spirit.
Yes, sir. Very good.
Amen. Right? Amen. It's a supernatural revelation where God gives you divine insight. Your mind could not have gotten this information any other way except God revealed it to you. You didn't guess right. You didn't get it because you got an engineering degree. You didn't get it through the study of the Word. You didn't get it just by witness of the Spirit. There's something stronger. Well, let's begin to talk about some examples, right? So remember that what differentiates the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is the tenses. The word of knowledge deals with the present and the past. The word of wisdom deals with God's plans, His purposes relating to the future. Amen?
Amen.
So let me turn my page in my notes here and let's begin to take an example. So in the book of Acts, as you're reading the book of Acts, you read about a time where the Apostle Paul came into town and there was a prophet named Agabus. Anybody remember Agabus? And Agabus had four daughters. No, was it Philip that had four daughters or Agabus that had four daughters? Philip, the evangelist, he had four daughters that prophesied in this same city. In this, I'm assuming Agabus, they're all part of the same city, same church. Philip is there. He has four daughters who prophesied. But right in that same context, it says the prophet Agabus, when Paul came to town, the Holy Spirit moved on him and he reached over and he took Paul's belt. He took Paul's girdle and he bound his own hands and feet with that belt and said, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem do to the man who owns this belt. Chains and bondage await you. Now, did Agabus prophesy to Paul? No. Generally speaking, we could say, yeah, he prophesied to him. We're using the word prophecy in a very general sense.
Right.
But the simple gift of prophecy doesn't have any revelation in it.
Right.
It's an utterance gift, not a revelation gift. This is where the body of Christ has gotten confused by some bad teaching. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says all should prophesy. God wants us all to prophesy. We should all prophesy one by one that we might learn. And that is true. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, around verse 2 and 3, God defines the simple gift of prophecy as inspired utterance in a known tongue unto edification, exhortation, which means encouragement, and comfort. But there's no revelation in that. I said there's no divine revelation in that. If there's revelation in that prophecy, it's no longer prophecy. It's now one of the revelation gifts.
Yes, sir.
Word of wisdom, word of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I could say something, and I could have inspired utterance and speak those inspired utterances in a known language that would build up Paul, that would bring comfort to Sister Gloria, that would bring exhortation and encouragement to Sister Marilyn. But I didn't tell her anything about her future. I didn't have any supernatural insight into where you were yesterday and what someone said about you. That's a different deal.
Yes, sir.
So all may prophesy. All may, by the Spirit as the Spirit will, speak inspired words in a known tongue that brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. But not everyone can line up and give a word of wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
Philip's four daughters prophesied. Agabus, notice there's revelation in what he said to Paul.
Amen.
He told Paul exactly by the Spirit what was going to happen to him in the future if he went to Jerusalem.
Right.
And it came to pass.
Amen.
That's the word of wisdom. I said, that's the word of wisdom. Let me give you an Old Testament example that's real powerful. Let's turn to this one. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
We're learning, aren't we?
Yeah.
Genesis 41. Genesis 41. And Joseph operated in the word of wisdom. And it was this gift of the Spirit in operation that got him out of prison and elevated him to being second in command, in charge of the entire nation's finances. He went from the prison to the palace in less than a day. Come on.
Amen.
Only took him 12 years to get there. Amen. And how did he get elevated? God manifest gave him a supernatural revelation. So Pharaoh has a dream. And in the dream, you remember in Genesis 41, that Pharaoh saw seven fat cows. And then he saw seven fat, prosperous looking ears of corn. Then he had another dream. And in the next dream, he saw seven skinny cows. Seven cows about to keel over and die. And seven stalks of corn without any ears in it. But he didn't know what it meant.
Amen.
And you remember Joseph's two prison friends, one got out and one got killed. One became the king's what? His cupbearer? And so the king is standing there and Pharaoh's going, man, I had this dream. I know this is significant. I need to figure out what this dream. He goes, oh yeah, there's a guy down there in prison. I had a dream. He told me everything about it. Get him up here.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, how's Joseph going to know? Only by divine revelation.
Amen.
Only by divine. If he's going to give this answer, it's going to be because God gave it to him. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 25. Genesis 41 and verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. That's future. The seven good kine or cows are 7 years. And he goes on into those details. Verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it will be very grievous. How does he know this? He knows it because God knows the future. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established. It is sure. It's like God saying, verily, verily. He gave him two dreams, gave him back to back, as to double up to let him know that this is going to come to pass. Now look at verse 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man, find a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers of the land and take up a fifth, 20% of the land during the seven plenteous years and heap it up, I'm paraphrasing, gather it up during the good years that come, lay up the corn under the hand of Pharaoh, let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not throughout the land. The Pharaoh goes, where could I find such a man? And he said, you're the man. Amen. Notice the word of wisdom kicked in and revealed to Joseph the interpretation of the dream. But notice it continued in letting him know what he ought to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That it was wisdom.
Amen.
This is the gift of the word of wisdom in operation. Now, someone who has the gift of the word of wisdom operate in them once, twice, three, four, five, six times. Don't be deceived and think, well, they're a whiz in everything. They could be dumb as a rock in almost every other area. The only reason that they knew that was because God showed it to them.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. Well, can you think of some other older New Testament examples where the word of wisdom was in manifestation? Can you think of an example? Yeah. Yeah. Think about, let me narrow it down a little bit. Tell me about a man named Daniel. Daniel was proficient. He was used mightily in the word of wisdom. So here again, another leader, Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream. And in this dream, he sees a golden statue. We call it a golden statue. Really, it only had gold at the top on the head. But then as you went down through the arms and the chest all the way down to the toes, the statue was made up of different materials. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
And he didn't know what the dream meant, but Daniel did. How'd he know? Because God showed it to him.
Amen.
And he said, Nebuchadnezzar, the dream that you've had, it is sure God has shown you. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase and say, the rise and the fall of all the major empires until the physical kingdom of God headed up by the Messiah comes. And so he says, number one, you are that head of gold, Babylon, and described his kingdom. And then he said, after Babylon shall arise another empire, and it'll be a split kingdom. And it was the Medes and the Persians defeated together the Babylonians, and they had a dual empire. And it was also symbolized in another dream, in another chapter, same different imagery, different dream, where a bear was raised up on one side. And that was the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medes were a little bit greater than the Persians were. And then he said, now after that, going down through the legs meaning swift in movement, he described, after the Medes and Persians, there will arise another empire called Greece. And he described in great detail Alexander the Great and his military tactics. This would be hundreds of years after Daniel is dead. He's telling him all about it. And then he says, after the Greeks will come the great Roman Empire. And it happened.
Yeah.
Amen. And then he said, and before the Messiah comes and sets up his kingdom, there will only be one more world empire after that. And it will be a revived Roman Empire of the end times. We're still living in the interpretation of Daniel's word of wisdom today. Now, if you look back and you want to write the history of world empires, looking back at everything we know from history, you could not study history and say it better than Daniel said it before it happened. That's the word of wisdom. Jesus operated in the word of wisdom. Peter's sitting there saying on arrest night, I will never leave you. I will die with you. I'm prepared to die with you. I'm going with you to the end. I am your man. I am your pal. I am your covenant brother. I'm not like any of these other disciples here are so wimpy. I'm going to be with you to the end. And what did Jesus say? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. Jesus says, before the rooster can crow, you will have denied me three times. That hadn't happened yet.
Amen.
Well, the events of the night go on.
Yep.
And before the sun can come up, right before the rooster crows, Peter denies Jesus the third time.
Yeah.
How did he know that? He knew it by the word of wisdom. I said he knew it by the word of wisdom.
Amen.
Praise God. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir. Amen.
So the word of wisdom is God's going to reveal plans, purposes, insights that only you're going to know about because he shared it with you.
Yes, sir.
Concerning the future.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I have things recorded, written down, that God's revealed to me about my future. Amen. Glory, not everything. Not everything, but some things. Well, that's the word of wisdom. Listen, when you receive supernatural divine direction for your life, that's a manifestation of the word of wisdom. I want you to build a building and get in position for a last day move. I say, he just revealed his plan. He just revealed his purpose.
Amen.
Yeah. Right?
Yes, sir.
And then you just set out. There's lots to pray and lots to do, but that's what we did from Jackson Street to here.
Yeah.
God revealed supernaturally a little bit of a nugget about his plan for my ministry and for this church.
Amen.
The word of wisdom. I remember it was pre-COVID. Just before COVID, it was on a Wednesday night service, about this number of many people here probably. And I don't know if y'all remember this, but I rarely give a word like that. And I said by the Spirit, in the next 5 years, there's going to come a dramatic and great increase to property values in McCracken County. Do with that what you will. Well, is that an easy prophecy? I've lived in McCracken County for 20-something years, and we hadn't had anything more than a 1 or 2% rise in home values. Just a very stable kind of a market. But then COVID happened and all the aftermath and everybody wanting to move here, and we have had a dramatic. Well, if you'd have prayed and listened to that, you could have bought some land. You could have bought something in McCracken County based on that word. And now with the benefit of hindsight, we can see that we did get a dramatic rise in property values and home values. Well, that's a divine revelation about the future. Amen. That's the word of wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. We're learning, aren't we?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of the things that is helpful to understand is that, especially if we, and it's right, you study a lot in the Old Testament. If everything you know about the prophet's office, you know because you read the Old Testament, you're going to be off in the new. Now, if you're interested, I'm going to be teaching. Sorry to everyone in Connect on Sunday. I know I was supposed to be there. I totally blew that. But I am going to be teaching at 9 a.m. on Sunday, specifically on the prophet's office. Amen. At 9 o'clock here on campus. But many people just think that prophets prophesy, and if I prophesy, I'm a prophet. It's not true. That's not the case. Honey, don't be confused. If you read carefully 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you can see all are supposed to prophesy. All can operate as the Spirit wills in the gift of prophecy.
Yes, sir.
Well, then does that mean all of us are prophets then?
No.
That's not what that means. And Jesus gave some to be apostles and some prophets. So all may prophesy, and we know, and I'm going to teach a whole lesson, Lord willing, on the simple gift of prophecy. It's supernatural. It's inspired utterance in a known tongue unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. And we can all operate in that gift as the Spirit wills. But notice what's absent from that gift are the manifestations of the Spirit that you'd have to legitimately say you're a prophet.
Right.
Amen? So a prophet in the New Testament is first and foremost a full-time vocational preacher and teacher of the Word. That's why I say with a little bit of sarcasm, there are no prophets working at Walmart. There may be prophetically gifted believers working at Walmart. Amen. But there's no one full-time standing in the office of the prophet working in the law firm. They are preachers and teachers of the Word of God. That is what they do by vocation. They've got places to preach. So I don't care what you operate in the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't have a place to preach, you're not a prophet. Hallelujah. I just say these things. I know this whole segment of the body of Christ doesn't like that. But it'll keep you safe. It'll keep you sound. And it'll keep you from not getting squirrely. Amen. There is such a thing as prophets. But they're rare. They're rare and they're precious.
Amen.
Amen? And we can all have these divine gifts operating in our lives as lay people. It just doesn't make us a prophet. So number one, you got to be, if you're talking about the prophet's office, you've got to be a preacher and a teacher of the word by vocation, number one. Amen. Number two, you have to have consistent manifestations of revelation gifts, two at least out of the three in your ministry. Not just once every decade. There needs to be a consistent operation of the Spirit, two out of the three of the revelation gifts, amen, in manifestation as the Spirit wills in your ministry, plus prophecy, and very often a healing ministry.
Yes, sir.
Not always, but sometimes. Right? But if you just study, now there's a lot of similarities between Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets, but in the Old Testament, if you wanted to know what you ought to do, what God thought, in the Old Testament, you had to go inquire of the prophet. You don't do that in the New Testament because you've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, honey.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we're teaching on Sundays. You hear from God. He lives in you.
Amen.
It's a huge difference between this side of the cross and that side of the cross.
Yes, sir.
I'm not led by prophets. I'm not inquiring after prophets to find out what I ought to do. Who I ought to marry. What I ought to do with my ministry. The Holy Ghost is right here. Amen. Glory to God. Now prophets have their place. Amen. Praise God. But I don't need a prophet today to hear from God. Amen. The prophet will confirm things. The prophet may have some distance and some sight and some revelation that you might have that they might share. But that doesn't mean you should just act on that. You should go and pray about that. I don't do anything. I don't care if it's Pastor Nancy, Dr. Jacobs. I don't care if it was Kenneth E. Hagin. I've learned a painful lesson. I don't care what they say to me by the Spirit. If it doesn't bear witness with my spirit, and if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if it doesn't pass those two check marks, I don't do anything about it.
Amen.
I said, I don't do anything about it.
Amen.
I'll go to guest services sometimes. You know, maybe with family or wherever I go, and it's kind of an uncomfortable thing for me because you don't know who you're around. Sure enough, they're going to call me out and prophesy to me. And they'll say, can I prophesy to you? And I tried to train myself, say, if you'll let me judge it. You can prophesy all you want, but I'm going to judge it. And if you prophesy in front of all these people, and it doesn't bear witness with my spirit, all these people are going to know that you missed it. People are just way too flamboyant and loose with personal prophecies. And I'm your pastor. You just be careful. Nobody is authorized to be, you know, the parking lot prophet at this church. I don't want to squelch the spirit. You got something from God. I want you to deliver it. But honor would have run that by me first. Pastor, I believe I got a word for Sister So-and-so. You mind if I share it? Absolutely. Go ahead. Amen. And you don't have to ask me, you know, my permit, you know, but you just need to be sober. Because it's my job to keep people sound and safe around here. Brother Hagin talked about people that got married because so-and-so prophesied. It never worked out. They hated each other. They were not a match. eHarmony.com knew that they weren't going to get along. My God. People have gone into business, taken loans, do this because somebody prophesied to them. You better watch it. Personal prophecies are a thing. But you must understand, God is not guiding us in the New Testament through personal prophecy. He is confirming. Right? And if you're really off, it may be a rebuke or a form of correction. Yeah. Amen. You need to learn this phrase when it comes to prophecy. Put it on the shelf. This is something I found out too. Y'all okay? I'm going to close in a minute. If something's God today, if it's really God, it'll be God tomorrow. I said, if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. If it's God tomorrow, it'll be God next week.
Yes, sir.
So don't be rash. Pray about things. Amen? Again, don't hear me wrong. I want you all to yield to the Spirit. But there's a divine order that keeps a church family safe. Right? Hallelujah. And if anybody's rogue catching people from car to 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 car on a regular basis, and you should tell me about it. I'll put a stop to that. Well, that'll hurt your church growth. It will not. It will hurt my attendance, but it will not hurt my church growth. And I'm more interested in my church's spiritual growth than I am the attendance. Amen. Glory to God. So there's when we study the gifts of the Spirit, everyone can operate as the Lord wills in the word of knowledge, in these revelation gifts, in the word of wisdom. But just because that happens to you, even with some frequency, doesn't mean you're called to the full-time ministry. Like we would call myself or Dr. Jacobs or something. It might, but it might not. Amen. And we want you to just be available and be all in and be expectant. And when the Holy Ghost is moving on you, to yield to it. But you yield to the Spirit. You know, Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, told them what to preach, gave them the anointing, gave them authority. They went out and cast out devils. But you know what? They were accountable to him. They came back and told him. Right? You know, even Paul, when he went out on his missionary journeys, the Bible says he came back. And he told James, who was the head of the church in Jerusalem, everything that he had done and everything that he had taught. He submitted his ministry to the authority of somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Amen. One of the only times I really got burned in prophetic things was from a man who would not submit his prophetic ministry to someone above him.
Yeah.
And that should be you want to follow a ministry, you ought to find, who are they submitted to? Who's speaking into their life? Y'all hearing me right? I'm not old, but I'm not brand new in some of this now either. And I've seen churches in this city rise and fall, come and go. Amen. Blow up and blow up. Amen. And we still here. And that doesn't make us anything. We just have to be sober. Amen. But at the same time, we're not afraid of these things. When the Spirit of God is really in manifestation, we will profit. We will all gain. Amen. You think about Israel, Jacob, and his descendants. There were 70 of them at the time of that famine in Egypt. They were only saved and preserved alive during that famine because Joseph yielded to the Spirit. And there was a nation where you could go get food. God raised up Joseph and moved in his life through the gifts of the Spirit to get him in a divine position to preserve the lineage of Jews that would one day bring Jesus into this earth. I'm telling you, we need the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's my ministry to you tonight. Praise God. Amen. You can go ahead and gather your things. When you're ready, go ahead and stand up on your feet.